Have you ever worked for someone who made you think, is this a job or am I being monitored like a toddler? Yeah, same. Welcome to Loud and Lifted Quick Lift, the under 10-minute episode where we take big insights and turn them into small, repeatable moves you can use this week. I'm your host, Betsy Ham. Today, I'm recapping my conversation with Linda Harvey, also known as the management guru on TikTok. And we're focusing on the kind of leadership situations that can drain your confidence fast. The micromanager, the narcissistic boss, and the workplace bully. This quick lift is your playbook for staying steady, strategic, and protected because you don't have to get bonus points for suffering quietly. Let's jump in. Takeaway number one, why micromanagers micromanage? And there are two types. Micromanagement usually looks like control, but underneath it all, it's almost always based on fear. Linda broke it down like this, that there's really two main types of micromanagers. Number one is the I don't trust you yet micromanager. They hover because they're worried you're going to miss something, make them look bad, or create a mess that they'll have to clean up. This can show up with new leaders, especially, or maybe new teams, or maybe if you're new with an organization or after you did make a mistake. The opportunity here, though, is sometimes you can improve this dynamic by building trust through consistency and clarity. We'll get to that in a moment. The second type of micromanager is the I need to feel powerful. This is the one who needs control to feel important. They rewrite your emails, they nitpick everything, and make you feel like nothing is ever quite right if they didn't do it themselves. And you may be crushing it. The reality is, this type is harder to fix because the micromanagement is tied to ego, not performance. It actually has nothing to do with you. So the question is the micromanagement temporary and situational, or is it their leadership personality? This distinction changes your strategy. So, what do you do? How can you train your boss or get them to change? And yes, really, you can train your boss in certain situations. So, the most useful practical move in this situation is if your boss is predictable, use that. Linda's example is gold. If your boss always calls you at 4 o'clock to check the progress or for a check-in, call them at 3:45 with the update first. Why this works? It gives them the reassurance they're hunting for, but it puts you in control of the narrative. And it slowly retrains the nervous system so that you've got it handled. So, this train your boss method, again, this probably works with type one, not type two of the micromanager. That's a harder one to crack. But try this for 1 week. Observe their patterns. What do they ask for every time? What makes them anxious? When do they typically check in? And then create an auto update rhythm. Maybe it's a quick daily recap. It's an end of the day bullet list. It's a weekly status snapshot. Pre-answer the questions if they always ask. Where are we in this? Did you get my email? What's next? Then include those answers in your update before they ask. You're really not giving in. You're protecting your time and building trust strategically. Again, this is gonna work with option or type number one. This may not work with type number two, but it's probably worth an attempt to see if you can change the relationship. So that's how we will handle a micromanager boss. Number two, how narcissistic leaders operate. Now, this is when it gets real. A narcissistic boss isn't just difficult, they tend to follow a pattern. There's no accountability. They're gaslighting you. You remember it one way, they insist it happened another way. They're always controlling the narrative. They give you praise until you outshine them. And then suddenly it's criticism, exclusion, weird power moves. The hard truth Linda shared is you don't usually win with a narcissist by confronting them head on. There's too much ego, psychological things going on that you're honestly not going to fix for them. But you can win by staying steady, staying smart, and protecting yourself. So, the approach that Linda shared during this part was to the calm, detached approach, the gray rock plus the follow-up notes. So, these are two tools that are simple and powerful. So, first, the gray rock theory. This is the boring, safe method. When a narcissist or any emotionally volatile leader does this, you keep your tone neutral, keep your responses short, don't overexplain. Don't get pulled into the drama and don't take the bait. you become a gray rock. Not fun, not reactive, not a target. Most narcissists love the engagement and getting you riled up and getting having that fear and anxiety just sort of looming over your head. That's what they thrive on. So if you can pull back and not feed that, then hopefully that will at least help them to maybe go pick on somebody else or do it to somebody else. But it's really about being like a gray rock, a little boring, but you're being safe. The second part of her suggestion of how to deal with a narcissistic boss is the follow-up notes. And this is really like the receipts without being petty. After conversations, especially confusing ones where they were probably talking in circles and you're not really sure where you stand or what next, send a quick recap email. And this is a great idea if you have a conversation with anyone that you're just not quite sure if you both left on the same page and if it's going to come back to bite you especially. So you can keep it simple. You don't have to sound overly professional or HR-ish about it, but you just want to confirm that we aligned on X. You want X by Thursday, you're going to do Y, and they will handle Z, whatever it is. But it's just a quick recap to assure that you are aligned. And this matters a lot because it reduces that he said, she said, and it creates clarity. And if the story changes later, you've got documentation. This is the grown-up version of, I'm not arguing with you, I'm just saving this for later. And again, if there's ever any kind of conversation where there isn't clarity at the end and you're not sure on the same page, just a quick bullet email with what you heard and what was happening next can go a long way. And last kind of leader is a workplace bully. And the way to handle this is, unfortunately, to document like a detective. Bullying isn't strong leadership. It's not just their style. It's a threat to psychological safety, and it deserves a real response plan. So step one is you're going to document, not feelings, facts. And this is, I think, sometimes where people get wrong, where they want to go to HR or they want to go to their boss's boss and they talk about the feelings. I feel this. It has to be the facts, the date and time something happened, what was said or done. Wording matters. Who witnessed it? And then the impact on the work, if there was missed deadlines, public humiliation, anything along those lines. Step two is, if it's safe, try the conversation. Sometimes naming it directly can stop it, especially if the thoughtless behavior versus targeted abuse. But safety matters. So if you can bring it up and feel that you're not going to be treated even more, then I would strongly suggest it. Sometimes something that may make it feel like it's a bullying tactic to you could just be the person being completely oblivious of the impact that their words or their behaviors have on you. So when in doubt, at least have the conversation first. And I'd go back to the conversation tips that we learned from Sarita about how to handle difficult conversations from season one. So if you do that and you have the conversation, or maybe you decide not to, then you have to figure out the next step is if you can escalate it appropriately. HR, if you have it. And this is always a tough part too, right? How do you approach it? But going to HR with the facts is the best approach. And here's the line I want you to remember when you do this. If leadership protects the bully, then that's the culture. So go to HR, have the conversation, share the documentation that you've been keeping. But if nothing happens or it gets handled inappropriately, then you really need to take a look at your situation. Because at that point, your job becomes you needing to protect your confidence, protecting your career record, and protecting the next move that you're going to make. Which leads to the do I stay or do I go checklist. And this can be used with any three types of bosses. You need to ask yourself, is it improving or is it repeating? Am I growing here or am I shrinking here? Is there real accountability above this person? Is my health changing because of this job? Because no job is worth losing yourself or being completely stressed out because of the way that your relationship is with your boss. There's a reason why people always say most employees leave their boss, not their company. And I definitely have seen that happen throughout my career to any friends or even coworkers. So these three bosses are incredibly difficult to deal with and challenging to fix, and you're not going to fix them. So if you're dealing with a micromanager, get proactive and set the rhythm. If it's a narcissist, detach, document, and protect your energy. And if it's bullying, you need the facts, the receipts, an escalation, and a plan. If this episode helps you, send it to a friend who's currently rage applying on LinkedIn at midnight. We've all been her. And if you haven't yet, follow or subscribe and leave a quick rating. It helps more women find the show and build their confidence and leadership tools in the real world. Thanks for listening. Until next time, stay loud, stay lifted, and protect your peace.